Please join me in the confession of sin. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. Oh, come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from Your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the vices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against Your holy law. We have done those things we should not have done, and we have not done those things we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare our sins for us, according to the promises You have declared to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. For His sake, grant that we may live in a godly, righteous, sober life to the good glory of Your holy name.
The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all of our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise for the versicles.
Thank you.
I invite you now to hear the words of our text from John chapter 15, where Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Growing grapes in Minnesota is a tricky business. The University of Minnesota laboratories have a website that Minnesota farmers can look into that will help them determine exactly what zones we are in or where they may be, so that certain types of grapes and plants will grow and others not grow, so that you don't end up investing a lot of money in something that doesn't produce. Right here near Mankato, there are two vineyards not too far away. I've walked through some of the actual vines and plants of some of them, and you can very quickly tell, as Jesus uses this imagery in the text before us, you can very quickly tell which branches are connected to the vine and producing good fruit. Jesus is using a very simple picture that even a little child can understand in order to teach us an extremely profound and deep spiritual truth about our spiritual lives. And I would like to use this today, tonight, as a commentary, if you will, on the gospel reading that is the standard gospel for this past Sunday. We often are focusing on the great judgment scene where Jesus separates the sheep and the goats. And he says to the believers, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." And then he goes on to point out all the works they've done in their life. "When I was hungry, you fed me. Naked, you clothed me," and so on. And this seems, in many ways, to contradict some of the other very clear passages of the Bible that speak about the fact that our getting to heaven is purely by the grace of God. By grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. And I've frequently had members and students come to me and say, "I don't understand. This seems to be such a contradiction here. Why is it on Judgment Day that it seems as though my works have something to do with whether or not I'll be let into heaven?" And that thinking feeds into a kind of a sense inside of all of us, if you want to call it a natural religion in our hearts and minds. I've got to do something to contribute to whether or not I'm going to go to heaven. You can see it on the negative side as well. When people who are Christians start to question whether or not they'll go to heaven someday, it's typically because of something they've done in their life that makes their conscience feel guilty and aware of the fact that their life has not measured up the way that it should. So there's a deep-rooted sense in all of us. Don't I have to do something? Isn't there something I have to do to produce before God that will permit me to come to heaven? When I was in grade school, my father had a big, thick, red book that sat out on our coffee table for quite a while. It was a study of Lutherans that had been done, culminating in the 1960s. And this had gone and talked to Lutherans of various Lutheran denominations. The very church body that loved the teaching of Martin Luther, that our salvation is purely by grace alone. And that study found that in American Lutherans, more than 50% of them still believed that their life and how they lived their life had something to do with how they get to heaven. That shows how stubbornly rooted this sense of works righteousness is inside of all of us. Well, our Lord Jesus, in this beautiful picture that he provides of a vineyard keeper and the vine and the branches and the grapes, gives us a beautiful commentary on Matthew 25 that helps us put all of this in perspective. The vine produces the grapes. You cannot have branches and grapes without the vine. The vine itself is the life-giving element in all of this. And that's quite a picture for us of Christ, isn't it? It is Christ himself and the gospel which he embodies by his work that now produces believers, the branches, as well as the works that flow out of them, the good works that happen in their lives. Any fruit that shows up in our spiritual lives before God has to have started first with the vine, and that is with Christ. He is the main source of all this spiritual life that goes on inside of our hearts and lives. And the amazing fluid of the gospel, the precious knowledge of the grace of all of our sins being forgiven for Jesus' sake, flows from that vine of Christ through his word and sacrament down to us, his branches, and into our lives to produce these wonderful fruits. The believer, the branch that's clinging to the vine of Christ, because of that fluid that has come into him from God himself by the work of the Holy Spirit, that branch is attached to Christ, connected to him, clinging to him alone for our hope of going to heaven. And it's only in those lives and in those hearts where they have grabbed onto Christ by God's work where you will see any fruits being produced. In fact, apart from Christ, there is no production of fruit. Very simple picture again. A dead branch on the ground is not going to produce any grapes. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And what he is implying here is found elsewhere in Scripture. From the eyes of God on Judgment Day, all of the wonderful good things that unbelievers do are meaningless unless they're connected to Christ by faith. It is only through Christ that anything we do in our life is recognized by God as being truly worthy and valuable before him. So on Judgment Day, God, if you will, walks through the vineyard of the world. And he can now look and see at people's lives exactly which branches have been connected to the vine of Christ, which ones have been clinging to Christ himself for their hope of going to heaven. The works that they produce in their lives, the good works that they do, now give evidence of the fact that the fluid of the gospel has been flowing into them and they are connected to the Savior. Beautiful example of Jesus identifying grapes to show that somebody was connected to him is to be found in the story of the woman weeping at his feet and crying at his feet with her tears and washing them. Everybody else in the room knew of this woman's bad reputation, and yet Jesus spots the grape of her confession, of her penitence, of her sin, and also of her love of him as the Savior. And he says, you can tell that she's forgiven because she loves much. He points to the grape, and it demonstrates that she has faith in him as her Savior. Now, at the same time, if we go back to the Matthew 25 verses, when I was hungry, you fed me, and so on. If we look closely at these verses, we see that in the judgment scene, the believers are not at all in any way dependent on their works. Listen to what they say when Jesus reads these things off to them that they have done. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty? There's been no keeping track of this, but there's been no record keeping. There's been no assumption that if I pile up so many good things, God will have to reward me with heaven. None of that. Because in their hearts and minds, their entire reason for being led into heaven someday has to do with Christ alone and not themselves. And even the best works that we produce in this life, even the grapes that we produce as believers in Christ, are still tainted with sin. And yet in the eyes of God, because they are connected to Christ, they are beautiful fruits of faith that he loves to see. And so here is the great irony, if you will. Though we as believers in Christ are not in any way at all saved or going to be led into heaven because of the good things that we do, nonetheless, they will be the very things that God himself points to on Judgment Day that demonstrates that we were putting our hope and trust entirely in Christ. And it pleases God to walk through his vineyard and to see these grapes in our lives. Listen to what Martin Luther says about an act of faith. Very famous words. "Oh, it is a living, busy, active, mighty thing, this faith, and so it is impossible for it not to do good works incessantly. It does not ask whether there are good works to do, but before the question rises, it has already done them and is always doing them. Thanks be to God. Amen."